The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In 1997, the movie Men in Black came out. This movie, which is classified under the action sci-fi genre, is a story about a secret undercover agency called the Men in Black, whose job it is to monitor extraterrestrial activity. And to put it more plainly, their tagline is to protect the Earth from the scum of the universe. Now, there are some really great fight scenes, some slimy aliens, and great one-liners, and more. Now, I don't think I typically say that I'm an action sci-fi kind of girl. My genre is more of comedy, shocking, maybe some psychological thrillers, and a rom-com here or there. So this generally isn't my scene. But my favorite part of Men in Black is not the men in suits or the feature theme song of the movie by Will Smith. Here comes Men in Black. It gets stuck in your head, don't worry. But it's the Neuralizer. Has anybody seen this movie? You know what I'm talking about? And the Neuralizer, as far as I can tell, is a made-up device that the agency, these Men in Black, use when they need to erase someone's memory. So while they are equipped to handle mischievous extraterrestrial life because of their work within the agency, the average person is not ready to face aliens in our daily existence. I mean, like, what would you do if you were driving your car across bridge access road, the bridge, right? Because all fight scenes have to involve a bridge, right? Every action movie, stuff goes down on a bridge. So picture bridge access, right? And you're in your car, and this oozing green alien just drops down from the sky and drops onto the hood of your car. Now, even after the car was repaired, and even after the ooze was cleaned up, I don't know that I could recover from that, right? I don't know that I could drive across that bridge again without wondering where the alien was coming from. So Men in Black come around their point of the agency, and they use their Neuralizer, this little light stick pen thing. They look into somebody's eyes, hit a button, and with a flash of light, their memory is erased. No more aliens in their nightmares. Now, this is brilliant. I mean, there are things in my life that I wish could be zapped away with a click of a button and a flashlight, right? Anybody else have something you're like, ooh, if they could just make that disappear, my life would be easier, right? Maybe it's a nasty insult from somebody you thought loved you. Maybe it's seeing someone you love die. Maybe it's feeling that deep loneliness or getting news about something that you don't think your body can even contain. Click, flash, gone. It would be so peaceful and so reassuring. It sounds pretty good. As many of you know, my biblical wisdom is interwoven with pop culture references, for better or for worse. Some of those are really meaningful, and some are really bizarre. And hearing about Peter and James and John on the mountaintop today with this transfiguration story makes me think about the Men in Black agency and how helpful the Neuralizer would have been for those disciples, right? Like, Jesus takes his friends to the top of this mountain with him, a high mountain, a literal trek up to this top of the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. He was changed. He was transformed. He changed clothes and form and essence and surrounded by light right in front of their eyes. And to add to this visual, it doesn't say it, but I picture that Peter, James, and John are bent over, catching their breath from the difficulty of hiking up a mountain. They're dripping with sweat, and they're trying to compose themselves. And their friend, who at this point, Jesus is living, right? Jesus is doing his normal ministry, right? And their friend, right in front of them, well, normal minus the, like, healing sick people and turning water into wine and claiming to be the Messiah of the world, but otherwise a totally normal human being. Well, their friend changes before their eyes to this glowing essence of a being surrounded by white light. And not only that, but Elijah and Moses, who are two Old Testament prophets, who these men had only ever heard stories of in their faith walk, right? The same way we've heard the stories of Elijah and Moses, but they appear right alongside of lightning bug Jesus. Now, this would have been as shocking as an alien jumping down on the roof of your car when you drive across a bridge. And in total shock, total horror, curiosity, and wonder, Peter's response is what? Let's build a dwelling for you, right? Can I build you a house? Or technically, can I make three dwellings for you and these resurrected ethereal prophets from old? Now, you got to hand it to Peter, because I'm not sure what my reaction would be after hiking up a mountain and having Jesus transfigure before me, right? In absolute disbelief, his response is, how can I make you feel welcome? Or maybe it's, how can I keep you here forever with us? Or maybe, how can I keep you on this mountain because you're scaring the life out of me and it's better to keep you here? It's not entirely clear what Peter's thought process was, just that there were a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions. It said that they were terrified, right? Now, I imagine that the transfiguration would have been like a child who's been born deaf and then suddenly putting on a cochlear implant for the first time. Yeah, it would be wild to hear things and it'd be so cool for them, but it's overwhelming and loud and scary. It would be like if you've ever finished a race or a physical activity that you've pushed your body so hard to the max, only to crumple to the floor in shock after it's done, amazed and thankful and exhausted all at once. It would be like sitting in the school cafeteria and seeing a deployed soldier who hasn't seen their child in years come walking in to surprise them and give them a hug. Overwhelming, earth-shattering, shocking, comforting yet unsettling. And while Jesus gives Peter, James, and John a verbal neuralizer, telling them not to tell anyone what they've seen until after his death and resurrection, they're not going to forget what they've experienced. They're going to take this experience of the unknown, the foreign, the shocking, the unsettling, and combine it with the comfort, gratitude, and joy that this person, this human, this God is coming down off of the mountain with them. It would have been easier if Jesus really didn't want them to tell anyone or for anyone else to know, to use some sort of button flash memory elimination system. But that's not who Jesus is. Instead, Jesus, in all of these different ways, interrupted people in their lives to jolt them awake and transform them, to change them, to help them see the bigger experience of God in the world. And all of his miracles, water into wine, walking on water, feeding crowds with just a few fish and loaves of bread, all of these things are alarming. They're unsettling, right? Picture being in a crowd of 5,000 people and being told, well, you know, a couple fish and a couple bread, it'll feed all of us, right? It's alarming. And we don't always know what to do when this happens, because when we catch a glimpse of God's love, it's unsettling. It's Sometimes we want to build a box or a tent or a church to keep it in safe and sound and easily accessible. Sometimes we want to keep it over there on the mountain, right? Far away from everyday life because I can handle things, right? I got it, God. I've got this. You stay over there and be like ethereal with the prophets. I can handle my stuff. And yet at other times, we come down from the mountain where there is no tent or dwelling place, but holding this bizarre experience within us, wishing for a neuralizer to zap it all away, but yet wanting to tell everyone what we saw, what we heard, what we felt, what we experienced. The transfiguration is absolutely about Jesus Christ. It's about him being transformed before the eyes of Peter, James, and John in this dazzling white robe with Elijah and Moses on either side. But the transfiguration is also about those who interacted with Jesus that day, the people who were changed because they had this experience. Sometimes we have a radical, life-changing experience with Jesus on top of a mountain. And other times we're at the bottom of the mountain, hearing secondhand what has happened and trying to make sense of it. This is the walk of faith. This is the walk to follow Christ, to take what we have experienced directly and indirectly, to make sense of it for our own brains, our own hearts, and our own hands. How have you experienced the shock of Jesus in your life? Have you experienced the brightness of Jesus glowing in other people's lives? How are you telling the story, whether directly or indirectly? How are you still coming down off of the mountain, keeping it to yourself? How are you transfigured, transformed, illuminated, empowered, and energized by what you experience in God's love for the world? May God continue to transform and transfigure, not just in front of us, but within us. Thanks be to God. Amen.